Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Virtue Signal. I'm Bill Whittle. You probably can't see me on account of me being so perfectly camouflaged with the background here. But this is the show where we try to figure out what's going on beneath the politics of the day. And it is a frank and honest and rapid back and forth discussion between myself and my friend and associate, Mr. Alfonso Rachel. So, as we record this, we're a couple days past the results of the recall election. And it looks like Gavin Newsom is going to continue to be governor for a while. Anyway, and I talked about this in my Moving Back to America segment. He has determined that there is going to be a vaccine passport for LA County only. Mm. And I talked about that a little bit. But what I wanted to talk to you about was the idea of disobedience, right? Mm. So we're good people. We try to be anyway. We have standards to live up to, or we have standards to fall short of. Anyway, it's more we can say for some people on the other team. And so generally speaking, we are law-abiding people and we try to do the right thing. So what do we do when there's a law like this that basically says, we're going to inject something into your arm or you don't get to go out. You don't get to go to restaurants, bars, nightclubs, nothing. If you can't prove that you had the thing that we shot into your arm, then essentially you can't do anything. What is the justification or even the moral imperative for disobeying a law?
Man, there definitely ain't no justification for it, but imagination land says that there is. Getting folks to understand that this isn't just about safety. This is about being branded. If I may be so crass to just
you
say,
always come up with something really cool, man. Yes, that's I never really realized it because it's internal, external, but it is kind of the mark of something. It's kind of like the mark of the beast. We are determined to mark you.
Yes,
and you will submit to that.
You will submit to it. You will accept it. You know, despite any sort of innate things that you may have that we can identify you with, whether it be like, you know, your facial structure or what your phone can identify and face recognition or anything like that. Sure, we can identify these things, but that's not the point, man. That's not the issue. We want you to accept the brand. Accept it. And under the guise of safety. Now, see, the irony here, though, Bill, is when we got cats out there talking about, you know, they can't seem to get over slavery. They can't seem to get over this oppressive America, you know, and just constantly want to perpetually indict America for slavery and things like that. Meanwhile, they're totally giving themselves over. Yes, brain chained, man, just shackled to a narrative. And now when the massa would brand their slaves, well, of course, I mean, hey, that's for safety reasons. We want folks to know who these slaves belong to. And they make up some sense of virtue for themselves. So these slaves will be branded and things like that. Well, now in this new age of serfdom that, you know, in this democratic socialism, as I guess people want to vote in their own slavery, this is what they're given over to. And it's sad, Bill, because it sells. That's the thing about it. It sells. Oppression has become easier to sell than freedom. Socialism, communism, slavery, you name it. It's still going to be an oppressive faction that herds people into being this fruit that somebody else is entitled to reap from. And there are reapers for this. And unfortunately, you have a lot of people out there who think that they're going to benefit from this. This is the big sell that we have to get in the way of. Now, and the answer, of course, is how do we get in the way of it? One, if I can give a quick answer, one way that you don't is that you don't rely on a politician to do it.
Amen to that.
That is in our, we have the God-given wherewithal and resources to do it. The Lord himself instructs us to do it. He says, look, I need you to be innovative. I need you to get out there and put this stuff to work. I need you to go do what the children of the age are doing. And when I say what the children are, I don't mean being deceitful and stuff like that, not resorting to their means, but they've shown how the tools are used. Use these tools and get in the way of it.
Yeah, if you want to influence people, why don't you just speak their language? You know, and the language of emotion is the pop culture. We all have cultural references, and by happy coincidence, just before recording, I was going back and looking at a bunch of just weird musical things that I liked on the web. Actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf and the Safety Dance from Virgin America. And I'm watching this incredible thing, and I'm just feeling all this energy and all this excitement, and it's teaching me how to buckle my seatbelt. And I watch it again and again and again. Because you're right, because you have to put that message in terms that people can at least connect to. And the left is masters at this. And this is why there's still a kind of a balance, right? The reason that we're still on the table is because truth is on our side. And the reason that they're still on the table is because they know how to do this. They know how to do this. They know how to put a message together in such a way that it goes past your brain, goes right to your emotions, and it's cool and it sounds good and you want to be a part of it. And, you know, you're right. It's easier to sell oppression than it is to sell freedom. And back when this whole kind of safety fetish thing was starting, not just the safety fetish, consider it psychological safety. We're not going to let kids play on a playground, especially those swirly things, because you might fall off of one of those. Mm. And if you fell off of one of those, who knows? You might break a bone. Mm. Can't have that. And then you can't play soccer or baseball and win, because if there's a winner, that means there's a loser, which means you're harming that person's delicate psyche and so on. But what it's done now over the course of 20 years is produced a social norm that prizes safety and absolute, I don't want to say conformity. Yeah, I do. Conformity. That's what happens. When you don't let kids fall off of swing sets, they have no way to calibrate danger or hurt or pain, nothing. And when you don't let any of them stand out, then you've basically conditioned them to move with the rest of the folks. Mm. And so all you have to do is really just kind of direct the flow, and people, it's not like these people have to push every one of them along. All they have to do is kind of show the direction. They kind of push themselves along. So what do you say to people when, as I pointed out earlier, when it comes time to, if this thing actually passes, and you need a vaccine passport, I imagine something like that is relatively simple to forge. Not that I would ever do such a thing. Certainly not. Heaven forfend. But if I had to show somebody a paper to get into a restaurant, I'm sure I could show them a paper that looked, if I was that kind of person, and I'm not. But I'm sure I could show them something that would pass. I'd get into the restaurant. And would I feel bad about breaking the law? No, I wouldn't. I would actually feel bad about obeying that law. In fact, I know I would feel bad about it. I would feel I have a moral obligation. And this is really where I want to go. I have a moral obligation to disobey this law, because this law is fundamentally against all of the principles that we hold dear.
Indeed, man, because the powers that be are rebelling against the people. This is rebellion in power, and that's what we're being faced with. And yes, the rebellious in power should be disobeyed. You know, this recall sadly was proof, and I hope that I'm getting to your question here or your statement. This recall was the proof that, well, one, the patients are running the asylum, and proof that this is what the people want. Like I said, oppression has been sold on the people. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here or anything like that, but it was like, yeah, I'm not surprised by this. And yes, I knew that this was coming. There was a lot of groundwork to be laid before this political move can be made.
And so Newsom's entire campaign, sorry to interrupt you, but Newsom's entire campaign was this crazy lunatic conservative wants to take away our masks and kill us all with COVID. It wasn't about Newsom. That was the thing that they made it about. They made it about fear.
Yes.
They made it about fear. They said, if you elect this guy, we're all going to die. And that's essentially pretty much exactly what they said.
Right. And that's what we're talking about. See, now Newsom is the embodiment of what the liberals have been promoting to hate. I mean, he's not, you know, as elderly as Biden, but he's wealthy.
No one is.
Right? Right? Come on now. But he's wealthy, he's white, and obviously very privileged. He is, I mean, he's a walking taboo. He's not supposed to be there. But, see, liberals don't sell a politician. Conservatives try to sell people a politician. They don't sell conservatism. Liberalism is something that's sold. As long as these people represent liberalism, even if it's Biden, it will sell, because that's what's being sold. So in this right here, under the guise of safety and security, these people know that it isn't keeping people safe and all that sort of stuff. That isn't even what they're really sold on. What they're sold on as part of the liberal selling machine, what they're sold on is that you, me, and anybody who represents anything conservative are evil. That's what they're sold on. There is nothing that Newsom can do that is evil as us. He could shut down businesses. He can cost people jobs. Exactly. He did. He can have you come in and show
people
your papers.
In nursing homes. Yep. Suicides. All of it.
Right. I mean, he's basically a repeat, you know, of what came down in Nazi Germany. And now have we gone that far? Is where people are starting to drag people out of their homes and all that sort of stuff? Don't underestimate that, folks.
Not yet. You look back at the Nazis, you think, oh, the Nazis. Well, that's a half a page in the history books. So that probably took place over the course of a couple of weeks.
No, it took right.
22 years basically, and if you expand that 22 years out into a day by day thing, there was no point when you went, oh my God, look what's happened.
Now, what did it take?
But we're well on that road.
Yes.
And you would think that was something that recent, something that was on film, for God's sakes, right? I mean, it's not like the Abyssinian War. I mean, this is on film. You can go look at it, which is probably why you don't see it anymore.
Right.
But yeah, you would think we would learn, but no, we don't.
No, for some reason we don't. And how did they pull that off? By making the Jews out to be somebody very evil. Right? The same way they're doing with this is a repeat that goes over and over again. When you read the Bible, like this much of it, you know, if you got a Bible that's like this thick, like this much of it is going to show people doing the same thing. Oh, it's like, God, this is like really redundant. Why do we have to keep reading this over and over again? Because chances are you're going to live it. You're going to do this same thing over and over again.
God's probably saying, listen, I only said it once. You're the idiots that just can't remember. You got the memory of a goldfish.
And what is it? And that's another thing that he keeps saying. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. Don't think you can't go back there. You know, where did paradise start? In one of the most chaotic continents on the planet. That's where paradise was. Now, America, compared to the rest of the world, is pretty much a paradise. You don't think we can lose that? Yes, we can. But it's being sold on people. And, you know, where this, you know, between the high gas taxes, the highest gas rates, people having to show proof of vaccination and all that sort of stuff. And people are going along with this. Once again, Bill, not really so much because they think it's so good, but because they think we're so evil.
No, that's right. And that's the sell. And by the way, with this, if they do require this sort of vaccination passport, I'm certainly hoping that in addition to COVID, they'll include typhus and bubonic plague, all of which are running rampant here in Los Angeles. Mm. I mean, if we're gonna get serious about this, you know, might as well show that we've been vaccinated against diseases that have been eliminated by civilized societies for the last 150, 200 years that are now back in force here in lovely Los Angeles. Mm. So how do you square this internally? How do you internally square the idea now that you have to come to the conclusion that now, as an honest, law-abiding person, I feel a moral obligation to break the law?
To have the discernment, you know, and for me, that's spirit-led discernment, according to the word. It's having discernment to know the difference between good law and bad law. Am I a law-abiding citizen? Sure, but with the discernment of understanding what good law is. As folks have heard me, you know, speak about, like, you know, some people, even Christians, and this is often very disappointing for me, is when you have Christians who go along with the woke crowd. Right. Basically, it's almost stepping into apostasy. Right. But they'll lean on scriptures like all authority is given by God. It should be submitted to. And it's like, no. You didn't read the whole thing. You got to square that up with the rest of the word. You are, because obviously even between Paul, Peter themselves, they exercised civil disobedience too. They weren't exactly obedient to the government. When they were put in jail, even angels showed up to let them out and say, yo, we got a jailbreak, let's go, right? So even in that, there was this disobedience to the government. Or even when you have you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because of disobedience. They were thrown into a furnace because of disobedience. But they knew the difference between good law and bad law. So when you have bad law, you're supposed to be able to recognize and say, hey, this does not square up with our God-given rights. And we're going to obey God, the law, right? The law incarnate, who came as the law incarnate, who's always been the law. We're going to choose that over your law because your law is indeed a liability to people. So that's where people have to square that up. But if we're constantly being told that these things are, you know, arbitrary and you can't bring those to the argument, that's more and more why these are our rights are being infringed upon.
This is why we're a good team, because a lot of times, you know, one or the other will like, you know, do this setup and then the other one will come in and spike it. So I'll just put this one in the ground if I can. You say that the fundamental thing is you have to know the difference between good law and bad law. Mm. And you can't know the difference between good law and bad law unless you know the difference between good and evil. And the difference between good and evil, that knowledge doesn't exist in state statutes because those things change like celebrity columns. So you've got a situation now where we know that we're supposed to obey the law, that that's the thing that good people do. And now the law is telling us to do things that we know are wrong. Mm. And most people are going to go along with this law. Mm. And some of them are not. And the ones that are not are going to resist this. And the harder they push, the more they're going to resist, because they have an internal standard that is independent of legislation. And that internal standard trumps legislation, if you'll pardon the expression. And you cannot make a stand and say, this is a bad law, I'm not going to obey it, if you don't have some kind of internal, ethical, moral foundation that is constant and dependable and eternal. Because all of this stuff is constantly in motion. But if you have an ethical, moral, philosophical, religious framework, then you're able to judge things like this. Like, yeah, okay, here we live in this tide of all of these influences and laws and all this, but most of it's good, but this one isn't, and this isn't, and this isn't, and I'm not going to be affected by those things. You can't do that if your definition of good is official. Mm.
Yes, and once again, even from there, basing that that official on what you gotta have, just like you said, you have to have something fixed and eternal. You know, as the founder says, hey, it's gonna take like, you know, a religious and moral people. And I would even go as far as to say, it's not even religion that does that, because you gotta come to the conclusion of which religion are we talking about? It really can come down to only one thing. There's only one truth. All right. There's only one answer to 2 + 2. There's only one. We can't be common core math with our virtues. We can't be common core with our sense of morality, and our discernment and our filter on how we're going to, you know, understand what right and wrong is. And when it comes down to people being subject to, this so-called, you know, vaccine and these things that people are going to have to prove in order to partake in our commerce. I mean, you know, like I said, these things aren't going to happen because people believe it. It's going to happen because of people who don't. And it's staring you right in the face when it's one of those things where we have this precursor. We're given this opportunity. We're given this mercy to say, look, these things that were written thousands of years ago, I know people think that they're this, it's archaic and stuff like that. No, in order for it to be biblically canonical, it has to pass three tests. It has to fit generationally. It has to fit in historicity, and it has to be culturally relevant. There's no excuse for no culture to not get it. God would not be a just God to come and just to judge people for something that they couldn't understand. He doesn't work that way. You have the clear evidence, and you have everything that you need to be able to process this. It's kind of like a contract when it says, "Do you understand what you're reading? Can you speak English? Do you understand words that are coming out of my mouth?"
I'm just going back to Pulp Fiction, and I can't finish the sentence, but it's the greatest.
Speak it,
of all time.
I know what you're talking
English.
About, right?
You speak
do
it.
You speak it, and that's where God is coming from. Hey, black and white. When people try to say that, hey, well, the Bible's written at a third grade level. Great. That means there's no excuse for you to not understand it, right? So, very plain and simple, this stuff is coming to look at you right in the face. If you don't have this brand, you will not be able to buy, you will not be able to sell. You will not be able to partake in consumerism. You will not be able to work. You will not be able to own a home. You will not be able to sell people a home or anything like that. All that stuff is coming down the pike where people are putting in these stipulations about how they're going to do business. Was it not written right there? If you do not have this mark, you will not be able to buy. You will not be able to sell. So here we are. What's the excuse to not understand it?
Bible may be written at a third grade level, but that's still two grade levels above most people's comprehension these days. In a free society, the police do not have the ability to simply pull you over. Mm. In other words, you can be driving down the freeway and a policeman does not have the right to simply pull you over. There must be something called probable cause. Mm. There has to be a reason. You have to stand out as if not committing a crime, at least being on the borderline of it. And when you tell people that they can't go into restaurants and so on, then you've basically taken away all of this probable cause. It would still be an act of tyranny, but you could at least understand the case if the law were to say you cannot enter this building if you've got a temperature 104 and you're sneezing and coughing. I still have a lot of problems with that kind of thing, but that at least has some kind of internal consistency. Because here's the thing, Zoe. This is the thing. And this has to be made clear. They are talking about allowing you to enter a building if you can prove that you've been vaccinated, which is different than proving that you have immunity. Mm. Right? They're not asking you to prove that you're immune. So all of these health concerns that people say, well, you know, that's not a reasonable thing to say. You can't allow infected people in there and stuff. That's not what they're saying. They're not saying that you have to be immune. Now, if you want to do the Venn diagrams, assuming that this was a real vaccine and all the rest of it, you could say vaccinated people are immune. Yes, so everybody who's vaccinated is immune, but there are people who are immune but not vaccinated because they got the virus and they survived it. They have natural immunity, which is a much more powerful immunity than the vaccine. They're not saying you must be immune. They're saying you got to get the shot. Mm. And that, to me, is the kind of little distinctions that make this whole thing just a tiny little bit suspicious.
Yeah, that sneaky suspicion, right? And on top of that, isn't that profiling?
It is profiling.
You're going to have us show us these. You want us to make a show of these things without any sort of probable cause or anything like that, and everybody is suspect. That, in effect, is profiling. They're constantly contradicting their narrative, and it's just going over people's heads. And there's
exactly
a reason
right.
for that.
And when I go to a restaurant or movie and I present my vaccination, proof of vaccination card, and the guy at the gate's going to look at me and he's going to say to me, "Your name is Brittany Jones?" Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You're a 16-year-old female? Well, that's how I feel. Proceed. That'll do it for this edition of the Virtue Signal made possible by the members of BillWhittle.com. We're very grateful for your support, obviously. And if you want to join the team of decent people who are trying to figure a way out of this mess, then we could use your help. You can go to BillWhittle.com, click on the Become a Member button, or you can just make a one-time donation if you like. But these things cost money to produce, and we're supposed to know how capitalism works. For my friend Alfonso Rachel, I'm Bill Whittle. We'll see you next time right here on the Virtue Signal.